Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink a thing. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias as come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see once again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Amen.
Please be seated. In this, our 115th anniversary year, our theme is Deep Roots, New Branches. And we will be blessed, after the choir has sung, by the word of the Lord coming from one of the branches here at St. Paul. Minister Andrew Johnson, whose cousin David Cummings just read the scripture. Minister Andrew Johnson is a young man who loves God without apology. Void of apology, void of shame, he loves the Lord to the bone. And that is very clear. We have been blessed in recent months with his involvement in our young adult ensemble. Will you say the name? What's the name here? Vessels of Praise. And they sing on the fourth Sunday. You sing on the fourth Sunday? Yes, they'll be singing on the fourth Sunday. We've been blessed by them and his leadership with them. He is a graduate of Morehouse. I asked him, "What college did you go to?" He said, "Morehouse." I said, "Oh." And he replied, "You can't tell a Morehouse man." He has a delightful sense of humor. And he was a major in English there and has been blessed to be gainfully employed by ESPN. For those of you who don't know his family, I want his family to stand. Will the family of Minister Andrew Johnson stand? Thank you. Thank you so much. Our youth choir, which has been blessing us, they come now, after which we will welcome the word of the Lord through Minister Andrew Johnson. Dancers instead.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. I don't know about you, church family, today, but my heart is overjoyed. Our young people truly have blessed us all this morning. From the onset, you know, our youth choir. Every praise is to our God. And then the next selection with a song that I grew up learning and knowing. I'm so glad trouble don't last always. And our soloist, God bless you, my sister. Wonderful. To Elder and to all of our musicians, God bless you. We thank you this morning for sharing with us your gifts. To Sister Asia, our worship leader this morning. Can we give her another round of applause? Wonderful job, Asia. To all of our young people that we celebrated in the front this morning, God bless you, congratulations. We look forward to what God is going to continue to do in your lives. We are with you. To Sister Brianna Spann, who announced our young vessels this morning, God bless you, my sister, for that. To Brother Rajon Black, God bless you, my brother, for the morning prayer this morning. I know you had to step in last minute, but thank you for answering the call, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. To Sister Madison Black, who prayed during our offering. Yeah. Watch out, St. Paul. Watch out. To the dancers, God bless you. You were so wonderful, and we thank you for your ministry here at St. Paul. To every young person today, I want to say thank you so, so much. And last but not least, to my cousin David. My brother, I want to thank you for reading the scripture this morning. I know that it was a long passage. And when I called you last night, I know you were a little hesitant, but I thank you, cuz. I thank you so, so much. You truly, truly warmed my heart this morning. I want to thank the shepherd of this great house of Zion, the Reverend Dr. Bernadette Glover, for this opportunity to stand before you. As I mentioned to you on the phone the other day, Pastor, I do not take this opportunity for granted. And I know that you instructed me to be short, and I will be. Because I don't want this to be my last time. Amen. Amen. I'm just so fortunate enough that I got an extra day of preparation than Reverend Spivey the last time, because she was asked Saturday night, so I got another day. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. To all of our associate ministers and to our deacons, trustees, to all of our executive board and to all of our members of here, this great branch of Zion, I thank you. And I bring you greetings on the behalf of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank my family for being here. It's so great to see you in the house this morning to support me. I see some of my fraternity brothers who traveled from New York and some are here from New Jersey. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. It means so much. And some of my friends, God bless you for being here in my extended family. You know who you are. And I just want to say thank you. And to all of my church family, God bless you. You know I love you. I feel like we already had the sermon given to us by Brian and to Janiyah. Weren't they wonderful? God bless you all. Hey. Amen, amen. As I mentioned, my cousin David already read the scripture. I'm just going to read a few verses. Once again, Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 6 and 7 through 19. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but he opened his eyes. He could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Verses 17 through 19. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Yes. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after having taken some food, he regained his strength. Church family, if you could just turn to your neighbor and say, "I've got a new name." Young people, I want you to turn to your friend next to you. Can you see me? Tell your friend next to you, "I've got a new name." Amen, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and everlasting eternal God, we come to you right now in this sacred hour, asking that you might just be with us just for a little while. Oh God, hide Andrew behind the cross so that your people may not see nor hear from me, but only see and hear what it is you have to say. Oh God, we thank you for what you're about to do, and for how all of our lives will be changed forever for the better. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you, and ask all of this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. When a child is born, he or she is given a name.
Right.
Now, this name usually comes from the parents. Most times, it's a mutual agreement to what the child's name is. But there are also times in which the parents don't come up with the name. Instead, the name may be suggested by a relative or a friend. Now, parents often come up with great names for the child. And relatives and friends come up with some good names as well. But then there are other times in which the parents or extended loved ones of the child come up with some interesting names. Can I get a witness in here this morning? No, I really don't mean any harm this morning, but we all know of some people, especially within our community, who come up with some of the most interesting names to give a child. I mean, you have some parents who have all the right intentions in the world. I mean, their heart is in the right place, but they start to want to get creative when it's time to think about naming the baby. Some parents like to combine names from everybody in the family. If it's a boy, the dad might say, well, let's combine my father and great-grandfather's first name, and then let's combine my second cousin and best friend's first names for the middle name. And next thing you know, the child's name is Jonathan Brandon Carlton Phillip Jones. And then if it's a girl, the mother of the child might want to combine her great-great-great aunts and grandmother's first names, and for the middle name, combine her fifth cousin and mother-in-law's middle names, because they want to keep the mother-in-law happy. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But in the end, the name of the baby girl is Susie Mabel Mary Beth Lisa Jackson. Oh, but then you have the aunties and the uncles and extended family that you catch at the family reunion every year that also want to chime in with some suggestions. Again, I don't mean any harm, but some of the names they like to throw out there are Geronte or Dequavius or Sharquay, if it's a boy, and Liquidisha or Debrisha or Berlandrika, Lashana Wanika, if it's a girl. Oh, come on, y'all know it's true. Parents and extended family members have all the right intentions in the world. Again, heart is in the right place, but the creativity just takes a hold of them. And well, the child is named. Praise the Lord, saints. But I've come here today to tell you that no matter what your name may be, no matter how long or how short it is, we all have a new name. I'm not talking about the names given to us by our parents. I'm not talking about a nickname given to us by our family members or coworkers or young people, not a nickname given to you by your friends at school. I'm not talking about a legal change of your name. I remember some years ago when Lakers power forward Ron Artest legally changed his name to Meta World Peace. And when Chad Johnson, the former Bengals wide receiver, legally changed his name, I kid you not, to Ocho Cinco. No, this new name is not of your initial birth. But this new name has been given to you, to us, from our rebirth.
Yes.
I'm not talking about a new name given to us in the worldly realm. I'm talking about a new name given to us of the spiritual realm.
Yes.
Can I get one witness in here this morning? When we look at the text, we find Saul traveling on the road to Damascus to deliver these letters to the synagogue so that if he found anyone there who believed in Jesus, man or woman, he would take them as prisoners.
Right.
Now, in order to understand why Saul was doing this, you have to know some facts about who Saul really was. First, we know Saul's father was a Pharisee. He was Jewish. We don't learn anything about his mother, but it's possible that she was like-minded as her husband. So Saul was raised in a Jewish household. Secondly, when Saul grew older, he became a student of the rabbi Gamaliel and spent many years learning and studying the scriptures under his tutelage. Gamaliel was a brother whom was well known and admired. He was a Pharisee and was respected for his learning. Now, after learning this from his mentor and all the teachings he got from him, Saul turns into a barbaric person. I mean, Saul was an evil, evil man. But to be honest, he really didn't know any better. You see, Saul still lived under the law of Moses and still practiced the Ten Commandments. He was still living under the old covenant. Thus, he was living a life still in bondage. Not in his mind, but he was.
Right, right.
We learned that Saul was a persecutor of Christians.
Yes.
If you were out there preaching the gospel, or if you had anything to do with Jesus Christ, Saul wasn't trying to hear none of that. And so we find Stephen, who was one of the first early appointed deacons of the early church, out there preaching the gospel.
Right.
And when the Jews heard of this, anger began to arise in their spirit. And when Saul learns of this, he decides to take action and approves of the stoning of Stephen, which eventually led to his death. And afterwards, Saul then decides he's going to put a stop to Christianity once and for all, and then goes from house to house, dragging men and women who were Christians into jail. Oh, you see, Saul didn't care what your gender was. He was on a mission to persecute all those who believed in Jesus. And so people began to fear him because he was one of the main individuals trying to destroy the church. But you see, what Saul didn't understand was that there were other believers in Jesus who were scattered and going everywhere preaching the word. You see, what Saul didn't understand was that even though heaven and earth shall pass away, the word of God shall stand true and remain forever. Now, in the text, today Saul goes to the high priest and asks him for letters of approval to continue his persecution because he learned that some believers had fled to Damascus. Now, along his journey, a light from heaven flashes around him. He falls to the ground and hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul replies, "Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And then Jesus says to him, "Get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And at this time, Saul was blind. So he had to be helped up and led by the men who were traveling along with him. Now we can all relate to this story.
Right.
Because at one point in our lives,
Lord,
we didn't know the way.
Yes.
Can I get a witness in here this morning? You see, at one time in our lives, we were lost in doing the wrong things. Maybe not to the extent of Saul by having people killed, but at one point we weren't believers.
That's right.
You see, I know there are some people who want to act like they are holier than thou. Reverend Andrews, I know there are some folk who act like they never knew what it was like to be out in the wilderness. Pastor, I know there are some folk who believe they were saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. But if we really want to be honest with ourselves, if we really want to tell the truth and shame the devil, then we must all recognize and admit that there was once a time in our lives where we all were lost. And that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As a non-believer and yes, even as a believer.
Yes.
You see, we all make mistakes and fall short at times.
Yes.
I can testify personally. There was a time in my life in which I wanted to do things on my own. Janiyah, I can relate to you, my sister. There was a time when I was struggling and I needed help. I mean, help. And I decided that I was going to do it my way, or it was going to be the highway. Well, let me tell you something here.
Yeah.
The Lord sat back, and he let me go for a little while. But after too many times of not getting it right, after continuing to try to handle the situation on my own, the Lord grabbed me, shook me up.
Thank you.
I mean, shook me up. And said, Andrew, you better remember who you are and whose you are. You see, you've been acting a fool for too long. You need to remember that you have a new name. You are my child, and I will not stand for this any longer. Is there anybody out here who can talk about how you tried to take matters into your own hands and then God got a hold of you and said, look here, and got you right back on track?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, at times, my brothers and sisters, we've all had moments like the one Saul experienced here. So Jesus calls the disciple Ananias in a vision and says to him, if you want to go, I want you to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for this man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. He's seen you in a vision as the one who will come and restore his sight. But Ananias says, Lord, are you talking about this brother who's been going around persecuting your people? Are you talking about the brother from Tarsus who's been causing all this havoc and harm to your saints in Jerusalem? Lord, are you talking about the same Saul who is currently on his way to Damascus with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all those who called you the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You ever know someone in your life that was the farthest from a Christian? I mean, someone who, when you mentioned the name of Jesus, started to cuss you out and say all kinds of mean things to you? And then the Lord told you to invite that person to the church service. Or invite that person to a Bible study.
Right.
Or invite that person to a community service event at the church. And you say, Lord, are you talking about so-and-so? Yeah, well, that's what happened here. The Lord says to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name and to preach my word before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Well, Jesus was saying the same thing to you about your friend or family member or coworker. Jesus said to you, I'm not interested in hearing what this person has done or what they said to you in the past. Just do as I say. And come to find out that person becomes a believer. And God uses them mightily for his glory. Well, my brothers and sisters, in the text we find that Ananias goes to the house where Saul was. And he places hands on him and says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you may not only see again, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word tells us that immediately, something like scales falls from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He then got up and was baptized.
Yes, Lord.
Afterwards, he took some food and regained his strength.
Yes,
you see, at that very moment, something miraculous happened to Saul. Oh, yes, at that very instant, my brothers and sisters, Saul gets a reassignment. Oh, yes, church family, at that very second, Saul's life was changed forever.
Right, right,
It's right then and there when Saul has a rebirth. The Bible goes on to tell us that Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we read further in the book of Acts, we find that Saul takes on a new name.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Brother Saul became Brother Paul. You see, Paul understood that Saul was his Hebrew name. But when he continued with his work for Jesus, he took on his Gentile name, Paul. You see, Saul was an arrogant and prideful man. But Paul, which means meek, was now a humble man. And with his new name, we learn about all the great work Paul did in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, once Saul was a persecutor of the church. But then Saul is persecuted himself as a believer in the gospel. Yes, it was Saul who was once out to exterminate every Christian in society. But later it was Paul who preached the word of the Lord throughout the land and sought to draw everyone to Christ Jesus. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it was Saul who went out seeking to round up every Christian believer, man or woman, and throw them in jail. But it was Paul who later was thrown in the prison for his belief in Jesus and for his ministry. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what you may be going through today. I don't know what it is you are desiring from the Lord. But I've come to remind you that you are a child of the Most High God. And that you have a new name. Young people and seasoned people, or whatever age bracket you claim to be a part of, I don't want you to go and continue to look at your limitations and think about what you can't do. Instead, I want to remind you, young people all, that you can achieve your dreams and that no mountain is too high to climb. Why? Because you got a new name. When people talk bad about you and begin to call you everything under the heavens but a Christian, tell that person, I don't know who it is you think you're talking to, but I've got a new name. When the storms of life surround you and trials and tribulations start to knock at your door, I want you to look to the hills from which cometh your help. And remember that with a new name that Jesus has given to you as his child, he promised that he would never leave nor forsake you. When you're on the job and your boss at work starts to get on your last nerve and you're 2 seconds away from being out of a job, by your response, just think about your new name. Young people, when you're at school and your friends try to peer pressure you into doing something that you know you're going to regret and get in serious trouble for, at that very moment, I want you to think about your new name. I'm not talking about your name from birth. I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. You see, when you get a new name, your life changes forever. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come anew. Have you heard about Simon, who got a new name? When Jesus said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Have you heard about the man healed of leprosy? The man was sick for some years, castigated and exiled from the land. But one day he met a man named Jesus. And he said, Lord, I want to be healed. And the Lord said, go, my brother, your faith has healed you. And the man got a new name. Have you heard about the man at the pool of Bethesda? The man was sitting there for 38 long, long years. And every time he went down into the pool, there was someone else that went down to go in ahead of him. And after so long, the man started to get a little crazy. But one day, when Jesus the Christ, met him at the pool, he said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man said, "Yes, I do." Well, Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And the man began to walk. That's all because he got a new name. Have you heard about the woman at the, well, the Samaritan woman who was exiled from the community? She had to go to the well at noon every single day, the hottest point in the day. Had no friends and had no family members. But one day, she got a friend who was the friend of friends, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus said to the woman, "Can you give me a drink of water?" And she said, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. We don't get along." But Jesus said, "If you really knew who I am and who it is that asked for a drink, you would give it to me." And he told, the woman gave him a drink of the water, and her name changed forever. She ran back into the town and said, "Listen, I met a man named Jesus, and he changed my life forever. I got a new name." Have you heard about the blind man Bartimaeus? The man was sitting by the roadside begging. He was blind and could not see. But one day, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth in the crowd, the man said, "This is my perfect opportunity to get my healing." And so the man was called by Jesus, and Jesus said, "Call him." And so Bartimaeus got up, threw his cloak to the side, and began to walk to his new master. And Jesus said, "Go, my brother, your faith has healed you." Bartimaeus got a new name. Church family, I say all that to say you've got a new name. Remember that you're a believer of the Most High God. You know Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're looking for healing. Look to Jesus with your new name. Shake off the haters. Shake off the naysayers. Shake off everybody who comes against you. And just say, "I've got a new name." Oh yeah. When we think about our ancestors of slavery time and how they were persecuted and hanged and killed. You see, the slave masters, when they came from Africa and it was sold to slave masters, got a name from their slave masters. But you see, our ancestors understood that the name that their slave masters gave them wasn't their rightful name. But the good thing is that our ancestors knew who Jesus was and knew all about all that he's done and how he saved all of them. So they knew that I got a new name, and it's over in Zion. It's mine. It's mine. Oh yeah. It's mine. You got me this moment.
Thank God Almighty. Hallelujah.
We thank God for Minister Johnson and what God has poured in his heart to deliver to us today. I've got a new name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a name we're going to find on a birth certificate, but it's a name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Put your hands together again. Thank the good Lord for his word and for the ministry of Minister Johnson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes. Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. For you and I to be able to embrace this name and walk in this name, it begins with you and I making a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. There is no ifs or buts about it. That's the only way you can walk in the righteousness and in the power of this name that we heard a preacher telling us that Paul the Apostle name was changed, and he was able to walk in the glory and the power of that name from there on. Yes. And so each of us is invited, each of us, to embrace that name. Some of us maybe already have, but if you haven't yet, we are asking you to consider, before leaving this assembly, consider making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior so you and I can walk in this name. If you're here and you do not have a home church, we also encourage you and invite you to consider making St. Paul Baptist Church your home church. You had a testimony of young people about our church. This is a wonderful church where you and I can grow spiritually together. We hear a lot being said about homeless people, but there's no reason for you and I as a Christian to don't have a home church and to be homeless. We could change that today. You could change this right now. Before leaving here, speak to one of our counselors about becoming part of this church. Also, wherever you are, under the sound of my voice, please come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there any? Please come, is there any? You may be here for the first day, it's all right. This is a wonderful time to make Jesus Christ the Lord in your life.